When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yo, yo, when I spit bars in a rave, man, I go hard, last stand, stand.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Touchline Fracker. Couldn't really have said it much better than Stormzy going hard like Santan Dave, but that's another conversation. I'm joined this evening by three men who are rushing me this evening. It's my first ever experience of being rushed on a pod. Tobes, how's it going, mate?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm glad to be here, but I'm glad to know that we're going to end this by 8:59 on the dot, because certain men have to watch some certain shows, isn't it? So let's keep it stepping.
Okay, a classic case of losing recipes. Julian, how's it going, bro?
I'm good, man. I just would like the listeners to know that I'm a man, and a man. I am not trying to lock off the podcast and early so I can go watch a show about drama. So I'm just letting everyone.
So if I see you tweet anything about Love Island within the next 2 hours, there's gonna be trouble. Yeah.
Oh yeah, no. I'm watching The Sopranos, mate. I'm a man. You see.
you're watching The Sopranos like a gazillion years late, because obviously the real men have already watched Sopranos. Leave it the lowdown. Do you get what I'm saying?
Hey, man. It is what it is, man. Yeah.
we're not that kind of podcast family, guys. We're all real men. Even if we choose to watch Love Island, we choose to watch The Sopranos, we choose to watch The Wire, we choose to drill some holes in the wall. We're all real men regardless. Babs was with us. We've lost him. I imagine that he'll be back in a minute, but we'll crack on anyway. Before we start, as usual, if you're not already following the Twitter, make sure you give the Twitter a follow. We're at over 10,000 followers now. We love to see it. If you're not signed up to the Discord, sign up. Obviously, the new season's around the corner, so you need to make sure you're on the Discord for the Discord lives. Going to be hot this season. We've got a lot going on this season in terms of Discord. Every week, I tell you guys, I've got some news coming. It's coming. It's coming. When it's ready, innit? That's all I'll say about that. Babs has finally joined us, or rejoined us, should I say. How's it going, Babs?
Hey, not too bad, man. Not too bad. There's a bit of a scramble right there, but we move.
No worries. We were having, while you, in the intermission while you were gone, we were having a discussion about what a real man is, if they watch The Sopranos, if they watch Love Island, if they drill holes in the wall. So I'm glad you missed that. And like I said, if follow the Twitter, follow the Discord. If you're not already following the Instagram, follow the Instagram. And with that being said, let's get into it. The Premier League season is creeping up on us. It's a couple of weeks ago. I'll start with you, Tobes. We ain't had a Spurs rep on this pod for a few weeks, so I ain't got a clue what's going on at your hellhole of a club. Fill us in. What's been going on in the last week or so at Tottenham Hotspur?
It's been busy, but fake busy at the same time. Like, this club, they love to make a lot of noise. Oh, this is going to happen. We were told by Alistair Gold last week that expect a really busy week at Spurs, blah, blah, blah. But yet, the same two players that we knew had already been confirmed and signed for the club are the only two players who have been confirmed and signed for the club. The centre-back that we've been chasing for almost a month now, we still haven't got him. We haven't got that deal done and completed yet. There's less than just over 2 weeks to go until the season starts, like you said. Yeah, we still need another centre-back in addition to the centre-back we're chasing. We still need a right-back. We still possibly need a right-winger. We still need a central midfielder. And we still need to offload at least 4 or 5 players. And you're just thinking to yourself, Paratici is getting praise for being on his phone a lot. Like, any article you read with Spurs, they just keep gassing up the fact that he's on his phone. Oh, he's so busy. He's tireless. I don't care. And this isn't me shitting on Paratici, because I think he's doing some good work, but the work is not being done at a rate that is quick enough for us, because we need to get shit moving. We need to get shit stepping. And as it stands now, we're no better off than we were last season. We really
okay, you mentioned a few things there, but the first question I want to ask you is, obviously Paratici comes in with a big reputation based on what he's done at Juventus. We can obviously compare the statures of the two clubs, and with Spurs being the much smaller side in comparison to Juventus. But he has a track record of getting business done effectively and efficiently. Do you think maybe it's a Spurs issue that's slowing him down here rather than failings from the man?
Yeah, 100%. I don't think he's failing. I just think that our journalists and our fans are too quick to praise him for stuff that's not really been completed yet. I think he's settled after his shaky start with the managerial ID and the eventual managerial appointment. I think he's settled in quickly. The deal from Lamela and with Brian Hill came out of nowhere. The fact that we're even talking to a centre back who got voted Serie A best defender out of nowhere tells you about this guy's connections and his ability to move for the right caliber of players. I think what's stalling us now are the same issues that have stalled us in years gone by, which is Spurs want to pay A, the club want B, and Spurs want to keep thinking they can pay A until they have to pay B. That's not down to Paratici. That's down to the people who give Paratici money. That's what it's down to. So we just have to hope and pray that we not only make that one signing, but we get the other signings that Paratici's identified that the club needs. Because like I say,
it's been a while since a member of Touchdown Hotspurs has been on. I haven't listened to the pod for a few weeks, as you all love to say. I've been busy. So what are the other positions that need revamping as well?
We need two centre backs, so that's one. So when Romero comes in, we need another centre back next to him. Like we can't enter this season with Dyer or Sanchez as a starting centre back. It just can't happen. So we need another centre back. We need another right back as well. Serge Aurier's been basically whoring himself out to the whole of Europe for the whole summer. This guy's been talking about how he's made no secret of his desire to leave Spurs. He's still at the club. He's still at the club, and Matt Doherty is getting starts. We need a new right back.
Yeah, I respect him, man. It's bag season, baby.
So yeah. And Nuno, I think Nuno, obviously him and Matt Doherty, that connection is pissing me off, because it means as if he's going to get like another stay of execution. And it's like, oh, just move on and get another right back. But we still haven't got a new right back in. Central midfield, we all know that the balance was missing there. Skip, you mentioned him earlier on. He could play a big part for us this season. But again, I'm quite cautious of putting too much pressure on Skip. Like he's not even played 6 Premier League games for us. Not even had 6 starts as well. And yes, he had a great season in the Championship. And yes,
he won a trophy.
Yeah, he did. And he was one of their best players.
He comes in as one of your most decorated players.
Oh, piss off.
Yeah. I mean, he literally does.
I feel like Kane
does he not come in as one of your more decorated, your most decorated players?
We're counting second division trophies as like
over no trophies. Yes,
I'm sure Mr. Harry Kane would love one of those kind of things.
Oh, really? Harry Kane would love Championship. Yeah. Okay.
Of course, cool. He loves a trophy.
All right. Okay. Can I finish?
Yeah. Sure.
Okay. Cool. But yeah. I'm cautious of putting too much pressure on him, but I do appreciate the importance he could have for our midfield balance this season. But even with him, it's not enough. We need to sell Winks and we need to sell Sissoko. They need to go, and we need to bring someone in to fill the void that they're going to leave. Nuno's been experimenting with Dele playing as a deeper number 8 in a 4-3-3. No, cut that shit out. That shit ain't going to work. We've been there. We've done that. We've bought the T-shirt and the matching hat. It doesn't work. We don't want to see it happen this upcoming season. We need a new midfielder. And the right wing is an interesting one as well, because it depends on how quickly Brian Hill can develop and what Nuno's plans are for that position. But again, Hill is 19 years old. I don't really want to put too much pressure on him to say, yo, you have to be producing X, Y, Z for us from this right-hand side, considering it's his first season in the Premier League. And Lucas Moura, that bonehead City, he's looked good in pre-season. So it seems as if he's going to get a run in the team. And it's like the same bozos who flipped and flopped for us last season are going to be trusted yet again this upcoming season. And it just means we don't really progress. And that's my worry. And then I haven't even mentioned Harry Kane possibly leaving to Man City. If
don't worry, we had that one in the chamber. That one was cooking still. So I'm glad you mentioned it yourself. What's going on with that? Obviously, we've seen something spicy, brother. So obviously, we've seen what looks like Jack Grealish going to Man City for 100 million. The rumors have been going around for weeks in terms of them signing both Grealish and Kane for that 100 million to 150 million. So now we've seen the Grealish deal go over the line. What are your thoughts in regards to Kane? And what's he saying? Is he back from holidays? What's the murmurs at the club?
So on what he's saying, I think the reports are that he's going to have crunch talks with Daniel Levy next week and basically inform them of his desire to leave. Basically do what Spurs fans had thought he'd already done. Like, for me, he told the club he wanted to leave months ago. Like, it's nothing new. It's clear and obvious he wants to leave. His brother's leaking shit to Sky Sports, his brother's leaking shit to The Sun, and his brother's his agent. So it tells you one thing. They're trying to engineer a move away from Harry Kane from Spurs. But he's got 3 years left in his deal. We will dig our heels in, and we won't sell him unless we get a bid that meets our valuation of the player. Like, if Harry Kane wants to leave, he's probably going to have that conversation and it's going to go down like this. Daniel Levy's going to say, yeah, I appreciate you want to leave, but if they don't make the bid that we're satisfied with, you're not going anywhere. It's just going to happen. And for me, it's a bit fucked, because I think the club have let down Harry Kane in terms of building a team that is close to his level and building a team that can match his ambition for the club. I don't think they've handled that well on the manager front and on the playing staff front as well. So unfortunately, he's in a situation where if Man City don't cough up the cash, he's not going anywhere this summer. Well, and we won't be bullied into selling him for anything less than what we want.
Interesting. I see this saga going on a little bit longer. Jules, we haven't heard from you yet. You're from the outside looking in. Do you see this ending well, this Harry Kane and Tottenham relationship? A toxic one, if you ask me.
A toxic one. You know what? What I will say about Harry Kane is that even if the funds are not available for a club to meet Tottenham's valuation, I do think that, you know, he will put his head down and, you know, give it the old college try, give Spurs a season where he tries his best, you know. And, you know, Harry Kane, he's a shooter. Like, he's a real number nine. So, like, he wants that golden boot. Even though, like, it'll burn him inside that he's like scoring for Tottenham when he wants to be playing for someone that's going to win trophies, like, he's definitely going to put in a shift. But yeah, man, I definitely do see it work. See this coming to an end soon, whether it be this season or last season, and sorry, this season or next season. Because I do feel like Tottenham definitely have a leg to stand on. Like, Harry Kane is literally the best striker in the world, so they're not going to sell him for pennies. They're not going to sell him for. I don't think they should sell him for anything less than 120 million. Especially with him hitting what he's 27 now, hitting 28 to that 32 peak striker age where they start bagging a lot. So yeah, man, Tottenham definitely have to stand firm on this one, especially if they're selling to a rival as well, a direct rival like Man City, who seem to be the only team with the funds to actually buy him. So I maybe depends on how much Man City are prepared to throw the bag. I can definitely see next season if. For example, you know, Man City are like, you know, FFP up our arse already. we're not gonna splash the extra 120 more. I can definitely see next season Harry Kane having even more suitors, with, you know, PSG possibly losing Mbappe, freeing up some cap space, Real Madrid possibly getting a bit of money from having their stadium back and possibly going for him. So yeah, man, it's not Harry Kane is definitely gonna leave, but. I think Tottenham should definitely stand firm on this one and not sell him for more than what he's worth. What's up, saying for less than what he's worth?
Eloquently said, probably the only thing I disagree with is you calling Spurs a direct rival to Manchester City. Otherwise, well put, Julian. And Babs, you wanted to ask Julian a question. What was that?
Yeah, it was agree with your point for one. And the second point was, I don't see Harry Kane leaving England. You know, this guy, he's very close to breaking Alan Shearer's record. So I feel like that incentive alone is going to be enough for him to want to stay here. Because, boy,
is he close to breaking Shearer's record? Isn't it 100 odd goals?
I believe it's less than 100. I believe. Yeah. Whoa, yeah. I don't think it's 40.
Wait,
let me check. Yeah.
But yeah, no, man. I'm thinking like Harry Kane is starving for a trophy, man. If Real Madrid or PSG come for him, like I'm sorry.
Real Madrid guys, Real Madrid are broke. Forget about Real Madrid. They haven't got any money.
Real or Barca, they're
broke. Yeah.
But 94 goals. Okay, so the guy who said 100 was pretty close. So he's got a ways to go. He needs 4 or 5 really good seasons for him to break that record. So you're gonna back him to do it. They all want him to do it, to be honest. When you hear all that Shearer himself, Gary Lineker, when you hear them speak about Kane, it's very much like the heir apparent. But yeah, he needs to go into that next phase of his career now. I think the job that needs to be done at Spurs is a 2-3 year job, in my opinion, where you're now looking at Harry Kane, who's 30, 31. Does he want to stay around for that when he can spend 2-3 years winning trophies? I think, yes, getting value for him is important, but you'll know as well as anyone, Tobes, when you got value for Gareth Bale, the poo-poo platter that followed. So do you trust your club to then actually get the right...
I'm saying it... I said it like
that was a nice one, Mario. I like that.
But I think I take some solace in the fact that we have a director of football who knows his way around the market and has and is synonymous with Juve's sort of decade of dominance. Like he brought in a lot of players that went on to do big things at Juventus. He had some players that did poorly. Yes, everyone makes mistakes, but I think the only thing that gives me slight but faint hope is that we now have a director of football who effectively gives Daniel Levy a vision as to what will work for the club. Apart from Daniel Levy's own vision, which...
Can I ask you a quick question? Don't you think it's a bit easy to praise this Pochettino guy who's practically had a cushy job with Juventus, with being the director of Juventus? Because we've seen them make some horrific, like, high-profile signings, like Higuain for 75
million. And had no impact on their winning. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Like, winning is kind of like it's a given. Winning the Scudetto was kind of a given, and they never got past that plateau of winning the Champions League. They always got to a final, always the bridesmaid, never the bride. So do you honestly feel like, you know, this Pochettino guy's getting a bit too much credit for practically operating in a one-team league for many years?
Not really, no, because I did my research on him and they grabbed him from Sampdoria.
What year did they grab him? Because they obviously they came back up, they came up with Conte,
and
then they got a grip and then they held a vice grip. So if he helped them get the grip and keep it, respect. But if that's he came in, okay, I'll give him his props. Yeah. If he came in when they'd already established 4 or 5 years of dominance, it's a bit higgy.
So he came in, I think, around 2009, 2010. So he came in before they got there, before they started the dominance. And it was him and Conte that laid the foundations. You get what I'm saying? So like, yes, he's got a few things wrong, but this is a guy who actually knows football. Do you get what I'm saying? Like, you see when people say, oh, we want a football man at a club. He's a football man. I would have liked a Campos. I didn't even have Paratici on my radar, but I'm not gonna moan at a guy who's as reputable as him coming into our club, because it can only be a positive. We'd like to think it can only be a positive anyway. So I think he... He can help do some good things, but again, ultimately, his hands are tied in terms of how much he can spend, because that decision isn't his decision. That decision is Daniel Levy. That decision is Enoch. And ultimately, if there's no money to spend, what can a good director of football do? What can they do?
Facts. We'll watch. I'll be watching eagerly, because you know me. I love your sadness. So to see your club continue to struggle and to see you continue to get madder and madder every week on Discord is only going to make me a happier man. But that's enough about Spurs. Probably spent 18 minutes, 26 seconds too long talking about Spurs. But we're going to come over to you, Jules, because it's been a while since a member of the Coppen contingent has come on the main pod. Babs, you'll go last, because you Chessy Hour boys are suddenly available every week. I know how it goes. While the going's good, you guys will be here every week. The minute you go into that sticky form, won't be any of you to be found. I'm gonna come across to you, Julian. You guys got some business done really early with Konate. Since then, all I've just kind of seen is murmurings. Oxlade-Chamberlain being a backup for Firmino. I've seen that one through the grapevine. They're talking about the fifth year of unlocking Nabcam. Nabcam. Van Dijk's back. Gomez is back. Trent's back. Trent's back. So yeah, fill us in. What's been going on at Anfield? How are you feeling with this new season a couple of weeks away?
I was speaking about this on this week's episode of Cop End. You can catch it on every Wednesday morning. We bring it out, always bring the content. That I feel happy that the club within itself, transfer inactivity aside, the club within itself, everyone seems quite happy. It seems like, you know, that obviously Van Dijk is back, Gomez is back, the squad morale is there, everyone is... looks like they're fit and firing. Salah looks like he wants it. Man up. Mane looks like he's speaking a big game, telling that he's had a lot of rest, had a lot of reflection upon his poor season, and he's back. Firmino.
Hey, you might have got Mane tweaking.
Yeah. We had him in a dark room, like just contemplating all of his performances, because last season was quite abysmal, but he was able to end it well and able to end it on a high, or somewhat of a high. Transfer activity, if we can get into that, I've been very, very, very unimpressed with FSG, to the point where I'm actually quite sick of them as owners, to be honest. It's got like, this is probably our third transfer window where we haven't spent significantly, and everyone will praise us for getting Konate done early, but let's be real, this should have been done even last summer. January, you fucked about, got us Kabak and Ben Davis instead of getting us a proper centre back, and then, you know, getting this deal was kind of like, you know, I'm not going to applaud the fish for swimming. Like, you got us a fourth choice centre back that we've needed since last season, and last season's results were definitely a culmination of that. We're just moist, man. Like, we're just that guy in the club that's just like trying to whisper in babes' ears, like, yo, babes, like, let me chat to you, because we're not even getting no girls. Like, all of our men are getting girls. Like, United are getting Sancho, Varane. Man City are there drawing the Chris girl, like drawing man like Grealish.
So are you Hugo from Love Island then?
Fam, that's all. I don't, but boy, if he's some West dude that's always in the back just trying to, then that's what we are, bro. We, like, we've got no, that we're showing. And the big word that I like to use is intent. No intent whatsoever to like build on what we've done so far.
Okay, what I will say, Jules, you're making some good points, but it's a point I think. There was a question I'm going to ask you, should I say, and Liverpool fans have made it for a few years now. When you were making those big deals, weren't you just using money you were getting from players you were selling? When have they really pushed the boat out and spent some of their own money?
And that's the problem. That's the big, big problem. I feel like we give a lot of praise to FSG for a lot of what Klopp has done. Like, I feel like Klopp being an elite manager, an elite coach who's able to actually not get his first choice signings, but still not moan about it and make a big deal about it, and go on to win Champions Leagues and Premier Leagues against the odds, is credit. Is
enough with the Klopp free. Get to the FSG part, please.
Yeah, no, but that's what I'm saying. So with FSG, I feel like they haven't at all, in my opinion, pushed the boat out. In terms of maybe the way we scout players and statistics, and maybe even telling Klopp, no, we'd rather get a Mane instead of a Julian Brandt, we'd rather get a Salah instead of this person. Yeah, I can give them credit for that, but... like, I see the United fans, they get angry about the Glazers, about the same thing where you don't really put your own money in, as in you, like, Man United, in terms of transfer, can get away with it because you're a juggernaut of a club, so you're able to get these transfers done and have the money available. But FSG, it feels like a lot of Liverpool fans have kind of drank too much of the Kool-Aid, you know what I mean? Like, because of our success, they've kind of bypass the fact that these guys are actually not really pushing the boat out and trying to invest in buying players, because players are available. Like, we should be taking advantage of this market where it's literally a buyer's market in Europe, where other leagues are broke and, you know, they'll like, you know, sell players at a cut price, but we're not. We're just resting on our laurels and waiting on guys like Shaqiri and Origi to get sold, bullying us into not registering these guys. Like, it's not good, man. It's not good, and I just don't rate it.
I think I wanted to mention something as well, Julian, as well, because I wanted to ask, like, what is the expectation for Liverpool this season? Because you saw the standard that Man City set last season. You saw the frailties that you lot had, even irrespective of the injuries. Like, there are some certain parts of your team, injury or no injury, that needed fixing, that needed refreshing. Yeah. And the worry that I have with Spurs is the same worry that I have with Liverpool, with the exception of one position, which is centre-back, which is that you've not really addressed some of the issues that we saw in midfield and attack last year. If anything, you're one man down in midfield. You've not replaced him. Your striker issue is still there.
I mean, you asked Julian, and that man should have been on the pitch anyway, so yeah. nothing to be replaced.
to answer questions, the expectation, I definitely feel like, is to still win the league or Champions League. I won't be happy with anything less. I don't feel like us not investing in the summer is an excuse for us to not go for these trophies, because I do believe our squad is very adequate enough to challenge. I still, to be honest, feel like we have the best 11 in the league, a starting 11 in the league. Maybe beyond that, it's debatable. But I personally believe that.
I believe I could get with Rihanna, but it ain't gonna happen. All right.
But honestly, like, if we really go through it, like, you can't really.
But Julian, we would,
but you know, the Love Island boys have got me on the clock.
Your first 11 consists of a player that you routinely lambast week in, week out. That's pretty phenomenal. Julian is on this guy's neck.
I mean, we won leagues and Champions Leagues with him, so I don't see why we can't do it again. And the players around him are too good. But anyway, to answer your question, in midfield, even though we're a man down, I personally felt like Gini Wijnaldum was getting a lot more games than he needed to play. I felt like Curtis Jones could have definitely slotted in. That biscuit that's always getting injured, Naby Keita, should have been there. Hopefully this season is looking like the season where we can actually get like 5 games in a row out of him. Like,
he's a year older than what, for all intents and purposes, is a man older than they tell us he is. So
not a year, 5.
I'm saying he's a year older than however old he actually is, which isn't how old we're told he is. Yeah. So why would he suddenly become more durable is what I'm asking.
I mean, you've hardly played games over the last 2 years, so I would honestly think that you've kind of built up some sort of muscle memory to be like, I can at least give us 5 games in a row. Don't worry, man. Listen, Mariah, Naby is penny stocks right now. Penny stocks. It's not like Tesla. It's not like Neo. It's not like AMC that's going to pop soon. It's penny stocks, bruv. Like, I have no investment whatsoever.
When did this become crypto life rackers? What's going on here?
But yeah, man, like, I have no interest in that stock. But it's on my watch list. I'll see it there. But yeah, man, he should be getting games this season. And yeah, man, like, but up front, I must admit, it is dire. Like, when I'm hearing quotes from Ox saying that I've been trying out playing Force 9, yeah. It gives me a migraine, bro.
You lot ain't looking to spend money on a striker this summer, boy.
Man, I'm hearing names like Vlahovic, and I'm like, I'm not gonna lie, I've been telling the Koppen group chat is going mad. I'm like, bro, you guys are, I genuinely feel like, yeah, these men are just mentioning these men because these, like, Vlahovic, man, because it sounds nice and they're affordable. Like, I'm telling you, no one knows these guys. You just see a couple clips. And they're like, yeah, get Vlahovic. You don't want him, but you're just saying it because
he looks good. I can't lie.
But I can guarantee you, no one on this podcast has watched 5 games of him.
Yeah, definitely not.
That's not really anything to go by. But sometimes when you see a player, you know a player when you see them. So we'll see it. So basically, for all intents and purposes, you're not happy. Is the long and short of it.
Yeah, no, I'm not happy with
it. He's a better striker than Firmino.
Facts.
Yeah, but they're not getting him either. So it's another season of Bobby Firmino. Maybe Salah up top and what's he? Harvey.
I saw a story yesterday where
Coogs, that's not how this is gonna go. Coogs has appeared. That's what I was gonna say. But you jumped in before I could use that intro. Just say what you gotta say now.
Say this point. I read the story yesterday that Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain is getting retrained to be understudy.
Yeah, we discussed that already. If you'd come on from the start of the pod, you would have known that.
I won't give him a call up. So
you're always available. Thank you, Julian, for that succinct breakdown. Well, not quite succinct, but much more than Tobes was. Dan, you were at the Arsenal game today. Babs, you watched the Arsenal-Chelsea game today. For those of us who were in other places doing other things with our Sunday, can you guys give us a little breakdown of how the game went? I'll let you start, Dan.
To be honest, I thought it was quite a good game for a preseason game. It was a good amount of intensity. I think Chelsea, they were definitely throwing a lot of heavy challenges in. I wasn't really too encouraged by what I was watching. I think we tried to play a bit of a higher line with Holding and Pablo Mari at the back. Not sure why you would do that. And it eventually cost us with the goal that Chelsea scored against us on the counter. And they had a couple more efforts like that on the break that we couldn't really defend. Thomas Partey went off in the first half injured. It's looking like minimum 4 to 6 weeks out. With some sort of sprained ankle, twisted ankle ligaments.
My God, you were talking about his shooting in the warm-ups.
Yeah, he was packing them in the warm-ups.
Yeah, I don't call you up for the pod, but I read your tweets, brother. So don't you worry, I keep my ear to the streets. And I heard you've been looking very sharp as well. This is a cataclysmic, apocalyptic situation. What's going on?
Of the bluest style, yeah. yes, it's nightmarish stuff, you know. Because yesterday we're hearing the news that Granit Xhaka's getting a contract renewal on renewed terms, better terms than what he's on now until 2024.
Don't you think that's good news? Because it adds stability to your club that a senior player is locking himself down for another 2 years.
You know what? I was going back.
Preserving value, some might
say. Yeah, preserving the value.
4 year contract.
Yeah, do you know what? It's so funny. I was going back and forth with some people on Twitter yesterday who were like, you know, this is great. This is great news. You know, he adds stability. And I'm just like, look, you need to. People talking about a rebuild, yeah? But they want to rebuild with the exact same bricks in the exact same structure that the house looked like before. You know what I mean? It's like knocking down your house and building it exactly the same, but you've spent less on the materials. So the house looks the same, but it's worse on the inside. You know what I mean? So I'm looking at this and people are telling me about protecting his value. So this guy has had a good season by his account, probably his best season in an Arsenal shirt. He had a great Euros. You know, people were getting fooled by the team of the season, fake pictures that are being thrown out, this, that and the other. And there's no one in Europe that wants to pay 20 million euro for this guy. And he's 29 years old. So they think that now, if we give him a longer contract on more money and he's a year older, people are going to want to spend more money than that. It makes no sense from a...
Well, you're giving him more money?
More money. Yeah, they're offering him more money. Yeah.
It makes
look at the laughter. Look at the laughter.
Man got pay rise for having a good Euro, you know.
Yeah, you know, from a footballing perspective, it doesn't make sense because you're trying
four
to read
good games, you know, five good games.
And then from a financial perspective, it doesn't make sense. We're not going to get a higher bid. I heard they offer Bellerin a new deal as well, who was at fault for the second goal. This guy literally can't kick a football anymore. Passed it straight to Tammy Abraham for their second goal. And so I'm very disillusioned with the club at the moment. I think the way last season ended, it was we were on a downer, but you know, Arteta, Edu and all these, you know, these rookie guys that don't really know what they're doing, no experience. They were gassing up the thing, you know, they were saying it's going to be a summer of ruthlessness, you know, we're going to
have... Were you buying the gas?
I definitely wasn't buying the gas. I said, let's see what needs to be done, you know, but I'm seeing links with William.
So turn down the futures of Saka and Emile Smith-Rowe didn't fill you much confidence that it's a new start and to a new generation.
Ben White, 50 million.
And Ben White, 50 million.
Come on. I think people are too quick to give credit out. Yeah, I'm sorry. You can't be getting credit for your academy products signing professional contracts.
There's a little rivalry between you guys and Aston Villa at the moment, which is cute.
I'm not involved in that, man. I've not partaken in any of that rivalry with Aston. I'm seeing man go back and find Aston Villa tweets from June and this. I can't do that. You know, that's actually
you're losing recipes. This is Arsenal Football Club, Culture Club. I can't believe this shit, man. Yeah. This is the blood of my Listen, my enemies have all bled. Liverpool have bled. Chelsea have bled a little bit. They've given me a little bit. All that for a drop of blood. Spurs, you stay bleeding. But Arsenal, you are the gift that keeps giving.
These guys are the blood donors, big man. Yeah, man, you man are shockingly run, bruv. Like, since 2017, yeah, you lot have actually spent money. That used to be the problem. You man have got 350 million and have got, like, I couldn't even imagine you getting this worse. Like, it is so sweet, but at the same time, like, it's got to the point where I'm like, rah, you lot are like, and there's no way out. There's no light at the end of the tunnel because Arteta's shit, your director of football shit, your team is shit. Like, bruv, mate, your captain shit. Mate. I heard Oba's doing a mad thing as well, bruv. Like, he's just.
But I've heard he's washed. I see the Lord when I sleep. And often speaks, he says, Jewels, are you better than all of these creeps? Oh, man.
Wash kings, man. Wash kings.
You're going to wash kings.
Like, it's crazy. Oh, he's in preseason, he's actually gone 0 for 5, you know? It's crazy. Wow. Crazy.
Jesus Christ.
It's crazy. It's disgusting.
I don't really care about preseason, though. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't really...
Nah, you know what I'm concerned, though? Do you know what I'm concerned with Aubameyang is that this guy, he's actually one who he really looks after his body, takes care of himself. He does all the extra work in preseason. So normally in preseason, this guy is super hot fire. So, like, he'll be slapping goals in, shooting from everywhere. And I think he's actually missed, like, 2 or 3 clear-cut chances in every single match that we played in pre-season. So that doesn't fill me with confidence for the year that he's going to, you know, find his form. It seems that his confidence is completely gone, and I'm definitely worried. Definitely worried.
Is he still playing out from the left?
375 bags a week, you should be worried.
Is he still playing out from the left?
Yeah, he is. He's played from the left and up front in pre-season, so I think it's just...
Equally shocking, yeah?
Who's he lost first game?
Man said equally shocking.
Brentford away. And then we got Chelsea at home, and then City away. So it's technically.
I see.
You got us as well.
Yeah, in like, that game. Six,
wait, Toes. Was that supposed to be a threat?
It's not a threat, bro. I'm saying they've got us in the.
Place. Just letting you know what's good. All right, listen.
Next Sunday.
Can I ask one more question?
Go ahead, Jules.
Yeah, sorry. What month do you think Arteta is going to get sacked in?
Bro, do you know what's mad, yeah? I don't even think he's going to get sacked. That's the thing. I actually don't think he's going to get sacked. That's because for me, enduring all of last season, right, if I'm the board, I would say now you have to compete, you have to be there and thereabouts. But I just don't think that's how they're thinking. I think as long as he's within touching distance of top six, he will keep his job. Personally, that's not what I would do. That's not what I would consider as acceptable, but I don't see him getting sacked. I would sack him if he doesn't get top four for me, and I don't think he will get top four, so I'd sack him now. So, you know, that's my perspective.
Cool.
But don't you think you're setting him an unrealistic target there?
Nah, so
why should this Arsenal club finish top four?
It shouldn't, right? But it shouldn't finish top four, and I don't expect them to finish top four. I think we'll finish 6th to 8th. Right, but what I'm saying is they have held this guy and heralded this guy as this, you know, the second coming of Pep. They've told us that this guy is as good as Klopp, Tuchel, Pep Guardiola, you know, who's the other guy? I'm not going to talk about Ole, but Rodgers and all of this. They said that this guy is going to be the manager of the future, one of the best managers in the world, right? So if that is the context by within which you're, you know, putting the faith in him, putting the trust in him, he has to give you results like one of those managers would, you know. Otherwise, why should he stay in the job? If the maximum he can do is 6th, then why are we keeping a rookie there? Why do we not get someone else who's more established where the upside is actually bigger? You get what I mean?
I hear you. The Saliba situation notwithstanding. Listen, Babs, you've had the patience of a saint today, sir. Very much appreciated. I want to get your thoughts on the game against Arsenal, what you saw from your team, and how you're...
If you love listening to us here on Touchline Frackers, what's stopping you from grabbing a mic and starting your own show? And there's no place better to host than Blue Wire Hustle. Hustle was created to give everyone the opportunity to take your podcast to the next level. Or, if you want to host a podcast and just don't know where to start, Hustle is the perfect place for you. As part of the program, you'll receive personal cover art, Q&As with Blue Wire's top podcasters, access to a community Discord, and an e-learning course full of tips and tricks. And on top of that, we'll help you get your show pushed out to Apple, Spotify, Google, Stitcher, and all the other listening platforms. And the best part is, you can get all this for only $15 a month, the same rate as any other hosting site would charge you just for the initial setup. So if you're ready to do more than just listening to us talk about our favourite team, then make your voice heard in Hustle. Acceptance into the program is limited, so get your application in today. To apply, go to bwhustle.com/join. That's bwhustle.com/join. Check out the description box in this episode to find out more. But that's bwhustle.com/join.
Pre-season's going. A lot of rumours, a lot of bubbling, but not a lot of action thus far. Yeah, fill us in, Babs.
Yeah, today's game was quite interesting, especially because we tried a bit of a different shape. So it's not a shape that we haven't tried before, but it's one that we haven't utilised quite a lot. So similar to split strikers, we had we had Werner and Havertz who played that split striker role, and then we had Ziyech who dropped into the hole. And I feel like that was actually pretty effective because it actually allowed us to be able to get Timo in quite a bit. And he caused quite a bit of danger. Not that the danger led to much other than Havertz's goal, but it just showed that we can actually change up a bit. And not only that, one thing I really did like was the fact that with our wing back situation, we had two natural wingers, so we were actually able to maintain like some degree of width and have actually 1v1 ability out wide. Pulisic outright, he created a chance for Ziyech in the second half, but other than that, he hasn't really been having that great of a preseason. On the other hand, for me personally, I feel like Trevor Chalobah, he's done a really good job. He's been one of those players that not a lot of people have actually mentioned, but he's gone out to Rennes. You know, he's had 30-plus games in Ligue 1, and he's really impressed. So him coming in now and being able to play that sweeping centre-back role, similar to Thiago Silva, I do think it's something that has value. And I know not many people have actually said that he could be the one to come back into the squad, but I feel like he has a good chance because he literally hasn't looked like we've dropped a beat in terms of quality there. Out left, Cho looks a lot more comfortable at left wing back. You know, he got by his man a couple of times. He had a couple of shots off. And yeah, I don't think it was a very impressive game.
Cho's still playing left wing back. He's still playing wing back.
No, Tobes. He's not still playing left wing back. He's playing left wing back before he's playing right wing back. You know, you should know the difference between left and right.
I'm saying he's still playing wing back.
Can I ask you something? Yeah, when are you Chelsea fans going to start like being honest about Cho and some other youth that about your academy, man? Like, let's start being honest, man. Like,
You know what, Julian? We're going to go 1v1 here. So what honesty do you think is needed?
I personally feel like you Chelsea fans put a bit too much dip on these guys' chip. You know what I mean? Like, you make out these young players, I can give you a list of names, like, you know, Loftus-Cheek.
No. Don't veer off. You know, we're sticking on Cho right now. Let's do 1v1 here. Let's talk. What do you think? What do you think is going on?
Okay, I just personally feel like you Chelsea fans have kind of, in a way, overrated some of your younger talents and becomes clear through your manager's choice selections that these players that you guys rate so much may not be what you think they are.
So you think we've overrated Cho in terms of our judgment of him? Is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah, basically.
I mean, it's fair enough, but I mean, you look at the guy's career. You know, he's had a couple of injuries. He's had a couple of different managers here, there, and there. And I feel like a lot of people actually forget that the guy's still 20 years old. It's not like he's been around for ages. And not just that, you look at his starts, you know. Under Lampard, he didn't start many games. And under Tuchel, he's had his actual first experience of starting 3 Premier League games in a row. So I feel like people are a bit harsh on him because when you actually look at what he does when he does get to play, he does typically impress. And I'm sure that Kuz could probably attest to the fact that today he did look quite good. So hey, I mean, maybe this can be his season to actually get a bit more consistency in terms of his starting.
You know what I would say? Sorry, go on, Dan, go on.
I was just going to say, yeah, I think now it's just a case of Cho playing games.
Exactly.
I know everyone wants to like run the banter and all of this stuff, but whether that's at Chelsea or whether it's elsewhere, he actually just needs to play like 25 league games for like one season so he can actually see what he's really saying. I do think it's weird.
What happens if he plays 24 league games, Dan?
Yeah, but yeah, come on, man. I'm just be serious. But I think it's now just time that he needs to lock down a starting spot, whether that's at wing back, whether that's in the front three, and just show what he can do.
Sorry, whether that's at wing back.
The gas that we heard for Cho,
because I agree with Julian, the guy's a good prospect, but the gas that we heard is why at times, Bab, some people speak on him harshly because Chelsea fans have put this down such a pedestal. And then when we watch
it... Yeah, that's fair enough, yeah, but you're going off hearsay now. You're not using your eyes on watching the player.
No, I've used my eyes and I've just said he's a good prospect. I've just said
we don't want to see him become Victor Moses and running laps at wing-back, man. Like,
wing-back. We want to see him...
Just be heard.
Yeah, we want to see him play.
I mean, if you were able to show a bit more tactical nous to watch the game, you know he's playing an attacking role. You know he's just there to be the first.
Oh, wow. You're coming for their tactical acumen.
I haven't watched a minute,
this one's getting a bit shirty, boys.
Hey, look, man. There's literally nothing wrong because when you actually watch him, he's basically playing as a wide midfielder. He's just playing as a winger. Like the game today was the left winger.
But he gets hooked a lot.
What game?
The first angle wasn't working. Is it okay? Fine, you got me there. But he gets hooked a lot.
Do you know why that's cheeky, Mario? Do you know why that's cheeky? Because his boy Curtis Jones got hooked against us, and we ain't seen him since then. So
that's all right. I'm okay with that. Listen, we're not out here saying that Curtis Jones is gonna become should be Ballon d'Or level. Like he's chatting to certain man. Like we're not saying that, innit? Like Curtis Jones, he's a good youth. Comes from a good home. Gets his games here and there. But what we hear about Joe...
My good brother, man, Julian. I like him.
Now man's kicking ball in Ghana after not getting a call-up from like England and that. And like, it's just looking mad techie. Like, mad techie. I fear for him. Because like, the gas...
Hey, listen, man. If I were you, I'd be fearing for Virgil's ACL if I were you. Let's just hope he comes back fit.
We got 10 minutes left.
Yeah, don't worry. I've noticed. Babs, don't do it anew and start coming for people's ACL.
Hey,
We're better than that here.
I'm just hoping he has a speedy recovery.
He's recovered. This is ridiculous, man. He was
looking spooky midweek, you know, eating grass.
Was he? I didn't see that one, you know.
I didn't see that one. I don't know what you man are talking about still.
I went out to Skepta's show.
I'm not gonna lie, I didn't wait. Get me. I heard there was that man talking about practice. So I heard there was like a lot of talk about something happening in practice, but I wasn't there to see it in it. Like I was out. So boy, hold that you, man. If you saw Virgil doing whatever in it, because not my defender.
Not your defender. Nah. So Babs, quickly, obviously you've spoken about the state of the team today and you've gone again. I'm assuming you'll come back at some point. But like Tobe said, the Love Island counter ticks down rapidly. So let's finish up with some listeners' questions. First one is from Talking to Mush, also known as Mush from Koppen Fracker. Evening, yeah. Gents. How many points do you think wins the title this year? How many points gets top four? I'm personally predicting that the big four will dominate the league. Who are the big four these days?
I think the same four
that
finished Liverpool. Same top four 2 seasons in a row.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I think 90 plus
wins it this year.
How many?
90 plus points. I think it'll be a tight race between City and Liverpool, of course. But I do feel like United and Chelsea will collect a lot of points as well because they've got a lot of quality. And United have invested in Sanchez. So I feel like they're going to mark down their top four spot and probably get about 70 plus to about 80.
How many points gets you top four then?
I'll say 81 this year.
81 gets you top four. Wow.
I'm wrong. 70s, mid-70s, mid-70s.
70 gets you top four. Cougs?
Yeah, I think 75... minimum for top four this season is going to be a hard year, I think, because I do agree with Mush. I think those four teams are looking strong. They've all got strong defences, which I think makes a big difference. And they've all got goals, bar Chelsea. I think the other three have got reliable goal scorers. So I think 90 points gets the title, 75 gets top four.
Okay. Tobes. You don't usually see this high up the table, but how many points gets you top four, and how many points wins your title?
You know what? Forget it. I ain't gonna bother. Listen, I don't think 90 points gets the title. I think it would be, I reckon, 86 to 89 points will seal the title this year. I don't think, I don't think we're gonna see a team get 90 points. I think the Premier League is just too strong in this current state, and whilst I do think the top four sides are going to dominate, they're going to dominate the league, I still think those top four sides have some chinks in their armor that won't allow them to have that unreal consistency that the Liverpool side in the past had, or the Man City side in the past had. Like, Man City did a madness last year and they still didn't hit over 90 points, right?
I'll be honest, I don't think Man City were that great last year.
Not in performances, but in terms of wins, they won like 14 straight or something like that.
Yeah, they went on a mad run. They went on a mad run still. But they started slow.
Yeah,
and then they put and once they knew they won it, they took their foot off the gas as well.
Mm. Exactly.
So you're talking about 10 games or so where they weren't at their best, and they still were what, 80, close to 90, not quite 90, but that's not
86 points. Yeah,
that's 86 points where the 10 games they were like.
Don't you think if United, for example, pushed them,
they would have gotten over 90.
Yeah. So
I agree.
I personally think, I don't know, mate. City, I don't know. This year, I don't think they're going to be as great, you know.
I think Champions League. Champions League will be around 72, 74 points.
Apart from vibes, break that down for us, Julian.
Yeah, I was going to say, based on like last season, I personally felt like I felt like last season they took advantage of the other teams being so bad, and like they were kind of playing in third gear. Apart from from December to about January, I'll say they were really putting their foot on the gas. But I believe with a bit of with high quality pressure, they would have cracked this season. Because I didn't really feel like a lot of teams were kind of giving it to them. You saw when United bucked them, it was peak. Like literally the only team that were like kind of in form at the time, it was peak. So I don't know, and I don't feel like they've like built upon their like how good they were like maybe 2-3 seasons ago. They've lost a bit more than they've gained. Maybe with Grealish, their fortune changed, but I still think up front is a big thing. It's so
they haven't replaced Aguero, you say? Yeah. What do you, anybody agree with Julian?
Not really. No, I still think. I do agree that they need a striker, but I still think it's their league to lose. Like. Chelsea could do something. Man United should challenge. Liverpool, with players fit, they should pull up a fight. But I still think Man City have the strongest squad and are riding a wave, and they're going to add one of the best players in Jack Grealish to their team. So they're still the team to beat for me.
Okay,
yeah,
cool.
And it's the Pep Guardiola factor as well, man. Like, the guy, he does league football. And I think you look at the Liverpool team that beat them to the title, what they had to do to sort of wrestle the title away from Man City. I'm not sure that anyone's really that strong still, like, and can be that strong in opposition to Man City, personally.
Cool. Got our next question from Mukomoya. I want Babs to answer this. Which team out of West Ham, Leicester, Spurs or Arsenal will fail to make a Europa League spot?
Arsenal ain't making a Europa League spot.
West Ham, Spurs, Arsenal and Leicester. I think it will definitely be West Ham. I think we're going to see a season that mirrors the season where they got Europa League with Mbappe. You know, I think they finished them near relegation. So I think having that many games is going to be a bit too much for them. So I'm going to go with West Ham.
West Ham, okay. Got a question from Ricky DW. Who has the best defence in the Prem? Who has the best attack?
I'm biased and I'm going to say we have the best defence.
Okay.
I think best defense in the league is between Liverpool and
City.
Man City. In fact, no, Man City left back. I don't think.
I'll say Man United have a better defense than City.
Man for man, I don't think they do.
I think Maguire's stock since Euros has definitely gone up. I feel like Shaw's stock since last season has definitely gone up. They've added Varane, who's already a world class centre back, and
The thing is, Man City, they have two players that automatically start at In fact, three players. I think Kyle Walker's better than Aaron Wan-Bissaka. I think Cancelo's better than Aaron Wan-Bissaka. I think Ruben Diaz, even though I do think people overgas him, I think he's better than Maguire. So that's three players.
They're better. Got a question. What the hell are they smoking at the Emirates, giving Xhaka a new contract, from Dan Cougs? Dan Cougs, can you answer this one?
1 minute left.
What the hell are they smoking?
They're smoking that Dan Cougs pack. That's what they're smoking there, man. They got me in it.
THC, yeah. And you didn't hear that from me, bro. And one last question before Tobes kills me. This is from Tommy Ajayi, one long-time listener. Shout out, Tommy. What is the best way to build a team? Do you start from front to back? Do you build the midfield and the rest of the team? What are you lot's thoughts? Whoever wants to tackle that one.
I would say you start with the manager, first of all. They have to have a vision, because we've seen with some of your clubs, we would know that when you have a mismatch of managers and different players, it doesn't really work out.
You'd also know that, bro. You've been good for 4 years.
What are you trying to do here? I love it. The season is back, boys. and then you just address what needs addressing, to be honest. It depends on the team, but I would say start with the defense, because that you need to not concede first, and then I would say go to attack, because you need to sort out your goals, and then midfield will kind of, you can do a thing. These days you can have a functional midfield and it will just work.
Cool. Anyone have a different opinion?
Let's watch some.
I feel like nobody's gonna answer now, because they just want to get off the court.
I think if you have a firing attack, it is beneficial to get top four. You will get top four. Like we've seen it in Liverpool, they were able to get top four when they didn't have Van Dijk quite comfortably. So I do think you can work backwards in that regard. So I feel like with a good defence, you're going to be a bit on the cusps of it. So like with us, we saw them with Sarri, we had a good defence, but we didn't really have an amazing attack. And we only got top four because of United. You guys over there fucked up. And last season again, you know, they're having a good defense. We were still on the cusp of it, and it's only because of Leicester messing up a bit that we actually get top four in it. And so, I do think building from the attack and backwards is your better choice, in my opinion.
Cool. All right. I guess we'll leave it there. Dan, thank you for coming through. Tobes, Babs, Julian, always a pleasure to have you guys on. Peace.
Thank you.
All right. Yo. When I spit bars in a ring, man, I go hard, last stand.
Sports Social Podcast Network.